Morning. Today's daf from Sachem Ayin Test. We're on Ayin Chesmet Beis. We are coming off of Mishnah. We are here in the seventh parak of Pesachim, and we are discussing the Karban Pesach, and specifically unique aspects of the Karban Pesach that do not apply to other karbanos. Notably, our Mishnah taught us that if the basar becomes tamei, the chalev is good. The chalev part of the carbon that goes on to, up onto the mizbeach, but the basar becomes tamei, so you don't do zrikas adam. And the reason why you don't do zrikas adam is that although, in generally speaking, by karbanos, this would be a perfectly acceptable situation. Remember, our Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush according to Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that dam of a carbon can be nizrak al mizbeach, sprinkled on the mizbeach, despite the fact that there's nothing, there's no chalev, there's no basar. But still, when it comes to the Karban Pesach's purpose, its goal is consumption, is achila, and so therefore you need a part of the carbon that's going to be eaten. So you, even if you have the chalev that's going to go up onto the mizbech, but if there is no basar, so you don't do zrikas adam. That's the Mishnah, the chiddush of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah notes the contrast between carbon pesach and other karbanos. By other karbanos, this is not the case. By other karbanos, if the basar becomes tamei, yeah, chalev is available to put on top of the mizbech. So you do zrikas adam. Good. So the contrast between, carbon pesach and other karbanos. As far as the author of our Mishnah is concerned, so we are right now in the thought process of Rav. Rav says that if you do the zrika, so b'di'evit hortza, it's going to be an acceptable zrika. So says Rav. Right, that's Rav's first point of the Gemara that we saw yesterday. I'm a Rav Gidol, I'm Rav in Zarek Hurtza. So if you do the Zrika, so the Ritzui is going to be accomplished. Now, it's read into the Mishnah that way. Meaning, if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says, Nitma bas v'chelv kayim, eino zorek es adam. You don't do the Zrika. But the Dik in the Mishnah, a critical reading in the Mishnah, would be that if I were to do the Zrika, it would be fine. But the evidence would be fine. So the Gemara wants to know, what is that position? So what the Gemara suggested yesterday is that this Mishnah is going according to the sheet of Rabbi Nassan, and Rabbi Nassan is of the position that Achil Pesach is not Ma'akev, meaning, despite the fact that our purpose, our goal is to eat the Karban Pesach, that's true, but if nobody eats the Karban Pesach, you still get a check for having brought the Karban Pesach. You fulfilled your mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach, even if you didn't actually eat it. And as I pointed out yesterday, according to Rabbi Nassan, it's an extraordinarily delicate balance. In that, the whole purpose, the whole reason why we're bringing the Karban Pesach is to eat it, but at the same time, it's not ma'akev. If I don't eat it, it's not gonna hold back the carbon, and I still get a check for having brought the carbon. That is all what we saw yesterday, and what we also covered yesterday. I mean, obviously there was more yesterday, but from the mission onward, that's the basic point the Gemara has been making. We also went over yesterday, where do we see the sheet of Rabbi Nassan? Where exactly is it clear that Rabbi Nassan is of the position that the Achilas Karban Pesach is not Ma'akev? And if I don't eat the Karban Pesach, I still get a check. Where do we see that? So we quoted a couple of braises yesterday that clearly made that point. With that stated, Ula Rabbi Nassan, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday, Anayin Chesamud Beis, before the lines start getting wide. It's a line above that. And Ula Rabbi Nassan, Ishlafi Yachlo Lamali, we did this yesterday, but that's fine. And according to Rabbi Nassan, what do we do with the pasuk ish lefi achlo? Sounds like from the Torah that you have to eat it. It sounds like from the Torah that if I don't eat it, so then it's not gonna be a good Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says according to Rabbi Nassan, no, the only thing the Torah is telling us is that the person who is offering the Karban Pesach, he has to be in a position where he could eat it. He has to be gaver chaze. He has to be a person that at least has the potential of eating it, i.e. he's not tummy. But short of that, the actual achila itself is not ma'akev. Mantan lahat the Tan Rabban, the Gemara now wants to know, we do have a braisa, and we want to know who the author of this braisa is. What's the braisa teach us? Shach lo chlav. So let's say you do shchita for people who could consume it. Vizarku damashal lo chlav. And then, when the Kohen's doing the zrika, he has in mind a group of people cannot eat it. Ha'pesach ha'atzmo kasha va'adam yose ba'yideh chavaso. So the Karban Pesach is good. The person, the owner of the Karban Pesach, or the owners of the Karban Pesach, is going to have fulfilled his obligation. Come on, name a Rabbi Nassan, Ivala Rabbanan. So the Brisa seemingly is not going like Rabbi Nassan. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. I'm sorry. The Brisa seems to be going like Rabbi Nassan, not like the Chachamim. To which the Gemara says, no, afilo temer rabbanan. No, it's not true. The author of the Braisa is the Chachamin. And ein machshavas ochlim bezrika. And a point that we made earlier in the Masechta, and we get to say again, and that is that by the Karban Pesach, the significant machshava occurs during the Shechita, and not during the Zrika. When you have a machshava about the consumers of the Karban Pesach, that becomes critical, but only during the time of the Shechita, not during the time of the Zrika. Good. So it could very well be that even though during the Zrika, the machshava went on non-consumers, but that's just simply not significant as it relates to the Karban Pesach. Next, Mantan Lahad Tan Rabban, the Gemara now wants to know who's the author of this Braisa? Let's say the person was sick to the point where he was unable to eat during the Shechita Karban Pesach, and then a full recovery pretty quickly, because by the Zrika he was already healthy and healed. Or Chalam B'Shas Shechita V'Chol B'Shas Zrika, or conversely, he was healthy during Shechita, but unhealthy during the Zrika. In order for the Karban Pesach to be a successful Karban Pesach, you have to be fit to eat it from the time of Shechita all the way to the time of Zrika. Come on, name a Rabbanan he, v'lo Rabbi Nasan. And the Gemara, again, proposes that this Bryce is going like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Nasan, because according to Rabbi Nasan, the Achil is not Ma'akev. And the Gemara's answer, and at this point in time, we should already forecast the answer, Afilu Tema Rabbi Nasan, Gavra Dechazil Achil Be'inan. No, the author of the Bryce here could easily be going like Rabbi Nasan. And again, the point is that according to Rabbi Nasan, you need just simply Ra'ui. You don't have to actually eat it, but you have to be in a position where you could eat it. And so therefore you have to be, Chalam, you have to be a healthy individual, able to eat the Karban Pesach all the way from the Shechita through the Zrika. Mantan Lahadatan Rabbanan, we're going to do this now one more time, and let's go over another Braisa and see who the author of this Braisa is. Shechtu Batar V'Acharkach Nitmu Abalim, shechted the Karban in a state of Tahara, and then afterwards the owners become Tamei. So Yizarek Adam B'Tahara V'Al Yoch HaBasa B'Tumah. So what you should do is you should use Zrikas Adam in a state of Tahara, and Al Yochol Basa Tumah B'Tumah. Don't eat the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. So Keman Amar Rabbi Elazar. So B'Machlok Yishnuya. So according to Rabbi Elazar, so here it is. Here's the Machlokish between Rabbi Nasan and the Chachamim. Meaning that according to, Rabbi Nasan he. And the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Nasan. Meaning Rabbi Nasan's of the position that Achila is not Ma'akev. And so over here, this Braisa over here is going like the Shita of Rabbi Nasan. Now, Rashi points out over here, this is a little bit different than what we've been saying up until now. Up until now, we've been assuming that according to Rabbi Nasan, so the Achila is not Ma'akev, but you have to be at least Ra'ui. You have to be somebody who is a candidate to eat the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Lazar's understanding of Rabbi Nasan, Rashi makes this point over here. Rabbi Nasan's understanding of Rabbi Lazar is that, no, you don't even need that. Meaning, according to Rabbi Nasan, Achila is not Ma'akev, and you don't even have to be right to eat it. That's the Rabbi Lazar's understanding of Rabbi Nasan, which is different. That's not the way Rav understood Rabbi Nasan. But okay, he's an Amora, and he can have a different understanding of Rabbi Nasan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilo Tema Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, that Braisa that you just cited, not going like Rabbi Nasan, but rather, it's going like the Chachamim. Hachab Maizkin and Bitsibor. Da'afilo Bituma Nami Abdi. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood the Braisa. You thought that the Braisa was talking about individuals becoming Tamei. That's not what the Braisa was making reference to. The Braisa was talking about the Tzibor becoming Tamei. So he Bitsibor, Amayin Abbasan Echa Bituma. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't make sense. As we've gone over numerous times by the Karban Pesach, you have the community becoming Tamei. So not only do you offer the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah, but you eat the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. So that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no, it does. What were the Chachamim considered is as follows. If everybody were Tamei before we did anything with the Karban Pesach, so fine. Pesach haba b'tumah. But over here, however, because the majority of the Jewish people got Tamei during, now that's a funny time, just if we could try to wrap our heads around this idea. The entire Jewish people, the majority of the Jewish people becomes Tamei between Shechita and Zrika. So obviously it's unlikely. Rashi over here, again, notes the unlikely nature of this. You're going to have to suggest as Rashi that maybe the Nasi dies at that interim. Okay, but whatever. It's a it's a most unusual case, but, and it's a most unusual case, and as I say that, I'm trying to figure out how the Chachamim would make such a gzera in such a case. But, okay, but nevertheless, be that as it may, if we're talking about where they become tamei between the Shechita and the Zrika, so the Chachamim were worried about the following, which is that in a subsequent year, where let's say they also become tamei late in the game, but they become tamei not between Shechita and Zrika, but that rather they become tamei after the Zrika. So here comes the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, look, it's really confusing, and here's what people are going to say. The Yomru, people are going to say, Ishtake lo ninmu v'achalnu hashanami nechal. So they're going to say to themselves, look, last year we weren't tamei at the time of Shechita, and yet we ate the Karban Pesach. So here we weren't tamei at the time of Shechita and at the time of Zrika. We only become tamei after the Zrika, so why shouldn't we eat it as well? With the significant difference being that last year they were tamei during the Zrika, which affords them the opportunity to eat the Karban Pesach in a state of tumah. Masha'en came this year where they become tamei after the Zrika, so now you have no allowances to eat the Karban Pesach in that state of tumah. Okay, so all that now we could put a large comma in the Gemara right now. So all that is suggesting that our Mishnah that says that if, let's say, the Karban Pesach becomes tamei, meaning the basar of the Karban Pesach becomes tamei, and therefore there's not going to be any consumers. So our Mishnah teaches us that Zrika should not be done lichatchila, because again now it's a Karban Pesach where no one's going to be able to eat it, so you shouldn't do a Zrika. But bidi eved, this is the point the Gemara made yesterday. This is Rav's point. Bidi eved, if you do the Zrika, so it's going to be a kosher Zrika. And even though there's not going to be consumer, so what we are going to suggest, what we're going to say, is that the our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan says that the Achila is not Ma'akev, and so therefore proper authorship, proper attribution of our Mishnah is going to go according to Rabbi Nassan. That is all of yesterday's daf. Ibai Seima. As we now turn to today's daf, or 9 Testament Aleph, the Gemara now is going to give a different approach. It's not a radically different approach. It's basically the same thing. That in Zara Kurtza, that if you do the Zrika, it's going to be a good Zrika, despite the fact that the meat of this Karban Pesach is Tameh. But instead of attributing to the mission to Rabbi Nassan, the Gemara now is going to attribute it to another Tana. But it's basically going to be the same point. It's just giving attribution of the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehoshua. Let's see all this inside. Ibai Semer Rab Damak Rabbi Yehoshua, our mission really is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua. Ditanya will enter by Rabbi Yehoshua Omer. Call as Vachim Shabbatora, Bain Shinidmu Basa Vachel of Kayim. Bain Shinidmu Chel of Basa Kayim Zorek Esadam. So when it comes to Karbanis in general, as long as there is a consumption, either by the Mizbeach or by its owner, you have a kezais of chelev, or you have a kezais of basar, so now you're allowed to do the zrikas adam. That's true in general. However, there are exceptions. Now, previously we said there's an exception, that's Karban Pesach. In this brisa, so there are going to be two exceptions. So the two exceptions are nazir ve'ose Pesach. So the carbon of a nazir and the carbon of a, and the Karban Pesach. So nid muchelev avaser kaim zorek es adam, nid mabasa vechelev kaim, ein zorek es adam. So in this brisa, if you do not have a consumable part, when I say consumable, we mean that the owner, the adam, it does not have a consumable portion. The basar is nitma. So then you do not do zrikas adam according to the author of the brisa. Momentarily, we're going to see that the author of the brisa, not momentarily, we already saw at the beginning, the author of the brisa is Rabbi Yehoshua. Now, Karban Pesach, we already established. The purpose of Karban Pesach is achila. What about the carbon of a nazir? So Rashi writes over here, that also follows the same theme where it must be consumed. Rashi writes, second line in Rashi, Shami Nazir, Tchilasam La'achila. So when it comes to the Shlamim of the Karban Nazir, the Nazir at the conclusion of his Naziros is going to be bringing three Karbanos. So one of them is a Shlamim. That Shlamim is meant to be eaten. Rashi writes, the Shiluach Sa'aro Tachas Adun, Shlamim is Bashlam Bo. So one of the more unusual, whatever, you could say anything's unusual, but unusual in the sense that you don't have this by any other the other karbanos. The nazir is going to be cutting his hair, taking the hair, putting it under the pot in which the karban shlamim is being cooked. So, but nevertheless, the point is, is that the cooking of the Karban Shlamim and the eating of the Karban Shlamim becomes now an integral part of the Karban of a Nazir. And so therefore, just much like the Karban Pesach has to be consumed, or at least the goal is it for it to be consumed, same thing with the Karban of a Nazir as well, specifically the Shlamim of the Karban Nazir. With that stated, so the Brisa tells us that according to Rabbi Yeshua, if I don't have Basar, you ain't no zarek as adam, you don't sprinkle the blood. The im zarek hurtza. Now here we don't have to make a deek in the Brisa, because the Brisa actually says it. That bid the evidence, if you do the zrika, it works. You get a check. Nitmo abalim b'meis lo yizrak v'im zarek lo hurtza. Now if the owner of the karban becomes tamei with tumas mace, meaning, and we're not talking about where it's the seventh day, we're talking about now where he just simply will not have the ability, the time, to become tame in order to eat it. So then lo yizrok, so then the zrika is not to be done. V'im zarek lo hurtza, and if you do the zrika lo hurtza, it's simply not going to work, because at that point in time, he is checked out. There is no way that he even has the potential of eating the karban. Good, so this brisa is going according to the shita of Rabbi Yoshua, and our Mishnah is following in line with the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara b'Mukdashim Eino Kain. Now, when it comes to other karbanos, this is not the case. Masis Amani Rabbi Yoshua Yiditanya. The Gemara now just simply establishes authorship of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kol Hazvachim Shebatosh Nishtayim Mehem Kizayis Basar. Oh, Kizayis Chelev Zorikas Adam. Good. So our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yoshua, which is that in order for Zorikas Adam to be done with a karban, you need a consumption. That consumption could be done either by the Chelev that's going to go on the Mizbech, or by the Basar that's going to be eaten by its owner. However, if we don't have a requisite amount of kezias, so then you do not do a zrika. And you cannot combine. In other words, here, requisite amount, of course, is a shear, and the shear, of course, is a kezias, and you cannot combine a chatzizayis of chelev and a chatzizayis of basar. Uva ola afilu kechatzizayis basar, kechatzizayis chelev, zorikas adam, and mesha kula kalil. However, with notable exception to a carbonola, but for obvious reason. Because when it comes to a carbonola, it's all going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So there, Chelev and Basar, since they're both going up onto the Mizbeach, so you can take a chatzizayis of each of the two to combine in order to get to the requisite shear of a kizayis. However, when it comes to a carbon mincha, even if it's all there, you should not do a zrika. Now, mincha mai avida te. How did mincha come up at the end of this brisa? So I'm Rav Papa, Minchas Nisachim. So Rav Papa says the end of the brisa is actually not a reference to a mincha in the classic sense. Mincha over here just simply means Minchas Nisachim. With every carbon that comes, so you have also Nisachim. You have liquids that are poured onto the Mizbeach. Oil, wine, together, wine, oil mixed together with flour. So those are the Nisachim that are put onto the Mizbeach. And they accompany every carbon. Salkadat chamina, I might have thought, kevin de ka asya mikoch zevach. So since the nesachim are there to accompany a carbon, kegu fe de zevach dame, I might have thought, therefore they should be treated like part and parcel of the carbon. And therefore, and in the havamina, what I might have thought is, look, I don't have chelet, I don't have basar. Oh, but I do have the nesachim. Can't we count the nesachim as still being some, a consumable part of the carbon that's going up onto the Mizbech, allowing for the Zrikas Adam? So that's the Havamina. Kamashman, the Chiddush is no. That although the Nesachim do accompany the carbon, but they are not to be confused with the actual carbon itself. So in terms of Zrikas Adam, you need a consumable part of the carbon, which is either going to be the Chelev or it's going to be the Basar. But you can't count the Nesachim towards the carbon. So Chelev Menalan. Now the Gemara just wants to establish, where do we know this from? Meaning, so good, so we just learned together the Brisa of Rabbi Yoshua. And we've just established that the Mishnah from yesterday's daf is going according to Rabbi Yoshua. But now the Gemara just has some simple questions, that is, sourcing. Where do I know all this from? So, Chelev Menalan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Matamam Umatu Ba Mishum Rabbi Yoshua Ben Chananya. So the Gemara has the Masorah of where we get this first Drasha. The Amakravi Hikra Chelev Lerech Nicholach Lashem Chelev Af Api Shein Basar. Good. So we have a pasuk, in Parshas Achrimos that tells us that you're going to be burning the chalev l'reich nicholach. So the chalev now becomes significant in that if you have chalev, so then you can do zrikas adam. Ashkechan chalev yoser sakavi v'shtei klayis min alan. Now chalev is literally to be taken as the fats of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach. But there are other parts of the imurim that go up onto the mizbeach, notably the yoser sakavi, the shtei klayos. Right? If I'm not mistaken, yoser sakavi is a diaphragm. Shtei klayos are the two kidneys. So they also go up onto the mizbeach, and they too are part of the imurim. How about if I have that? Would that allow for the zrika to be done? So hey chaminan, dezarkinan midiktani uvemincha afapishikulo kayemes lo yizrok mincha hidalo aval yoser sakavi shtei klayos shapidami. So the Gemara says, well, right now I don't have a source, but I have a really solid argument. And meaning, consider that in the brisa that we just learned. So what gets knocked off? What is not part of the karban? So that's the nesachim. So that means that anything that's part and parcel of the animal is in fact now going to allow for the zrikas adam. So, okay, so it's a simple diuk in the brisa. It's only nesachim that's not considered part of the animal, and it's considered like you have a non-carbon part of the animal where I can't do zrika. So the animal itself, meaning the kidneys or the diaphragm of the animal, certainly is part and parcel of the animal, which will allow for zrika. So the Gemara says, fine. So that's an argument. But we're looking for sourcing right now, so menalam. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Good, so where's the source? So Rav Yochanan Didei Amar, Amar Kra, L'Reich Nicholach, Kosha Atamala L'Reich Nicholach. So it is Reich Nicholach, meaning it's going to go on to the Mizbech, it's being burnt on the Mizbech, it's producing a Reich Nicholach, a fine aroma. And so therefore, that would include even the klayos, even the yoseres hakavet. V'itzrich lemichtav, chelev itzrich lemichtav, reich nicholach. Now, the truth of the matter is now we have actually two drashas, one chelev and the other is reich nicholach. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, they're both necessary. If the Torah would have just simply said chelev, I would have thought that this halacha is specific only to the chelev, but would not include the shtei klayos and yoser hakavet. So that's why the Torah says reich nicholach. And e kasav rachman reich nicholach have a mina kolal and reich nicholach afila mincha kasav rachman chelav. And if the Torah would have said reich nicholach by itself without modifying and using the word chelav, I might have thought the nesachim also reich nicholach. If they do go up onto the mizbeach, they are burnt on the mizbeach. And so I might have thought, well, as I say that, it's not totally true. Meaning the wine is poured onto the mizbeach. It's poured onto the southwest corner of the mizbeach. So, but the oil and flour are in fact burnt onto the mizbeach. Anyway, I might have thought that under those circumstances, if the Torah would have just said reich nicholach, so then that would in fact have satisfied the requirement of having something go onto the mizbeach, and therefore would have done the zrikas adam. Chelev is there to teach me, and has to be part of the animal. Good. So we have now sourcing drushas that teach us that according to Rabbi Yoshua, for zrika to be done in general by a karban, either kazayis of chelev, or when we say chelev, we mean any parts of the imurim, or a kazayis of basar, then and only then, when you have a consumable part of the karban, are you allowed to do zrika zadam. But if you don't, you're not allowed to do zrika zadam. Now, mind you, by the way, just to synthesize everything we've been doing the last number of days, all this is according to the Shita Rabbi Yoshua. So as we already spent a couple of days learning, Rabbi Eliezer disagreed. Rabbi Eliezer says that zrika zadam can be done by a karban, even if there is no basar, even if there is no chelev, in general. Meaning not by carbon Pesach. Even by carbon Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer will tell you that you need a kazayis abasar. But in general, Rabbi Eliezer says that zrikas hadam can be done independent of any consumable part of a carbon. So everything we've been doing now for the duration of this morning is only according to Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara made that point clear. I'm just simply synthesizing everything that we've been learning now for the last number of days. Ayin Tes, Ayin Ches, and even going back as far as Ayin Zayin. The Gemara has made this point very clear, that we're really in a fundamental debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in terms of when Zrika can be done. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Zrika can be done totally independent of the carbon. Even if I have no part of the carbon, Zrika can be done in general. And Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He says you need a consumable part. You need either chelev or basar. But either or. Now and as we just learned in the Brisa, you can't combine the two in order to get to your kazayis. Good, Ad Kan, that takes us now to the Mishnah, we're in Ayin Tesam and Aleph. And we are at the Mishnah, and here we are now going to be dealing with the very basic issue regarding Pesach Haba B'Tumah. So we have a halacha that when you have a carbon sebor and the Jewish people are tamei, so you're allowed to bring the carbon Pesach B'Tumah. This halacha is not just limited to the carbon Pesach. This halacha is true by any carbon sebor. The Mishnah back in Ayin Zayin made that point very clear. Actually, the Mishnah Zayin Vav. Chamisha Dvarim Ba'im B'Tumah Ve'enech Alim B'Tumah. So any carbon sebor is going to be brought in a state of Tumah if the majority are going to be Tamei. But when it comes to carbon sebor in general, so although they're offered in a state of Tumah, they're not eaten in a state of Tumah. Here we are now, ready to learn that when, we already saw this back in Ayin Vav, and that is that when it comes to the carbon Pesach, not only can be offered in a state of Tumah, it can also be eaten in a state of Tumah as well. Now, who has to be Tamei in order for this to happen? So that's what we're going to see together in our Mishnah. And let's see the Mishnah inside. Mishnah starts off, Nit Makala Rubo. If the Jewish people are Tamei, or the majority of Jewish people are Tamei, so that would now give allowance for the Pesach to be brought in the state of Tumah. Now, if we just pause here for a moment, let's think about the case of Rove for just a second. Majority of Jewish people are Tamei, so by definition that means that you do have a minority, could be a significant minority, but you have a minority of Jewish people who are not Tamei. So what are they expected to do that year? So the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but there are a couple of Rashis in the course of today's daf, and it's pretty intuitive, and that is that they're going to bring the carbon also, despite the fact that it's going to be Tamei. Now, it's going to be really hard if you could just imagine for a moment that the majority of Jewish people are Tamei, therefore allowing them to bring the carbon Pesach B'Tumah. It's going to be difficult to separate the Tamei and non-Tamei. And if we have the majority of people that are Tamei, to make an argument and say that the non-Tamei are going to be bringing it in a state of Tahara, so I would just suggest as a pragmatic issue, that would be very hard to separate the two. Now, as hard as that is to imagine, so I just am going to foreshadow in just a moment, we are going to entertain a little bit later this morning an idea that there will be an occasion where we're going to have chatzi chatzi. We're going to have half the Jewish people bring in Betumah, half the Jewish people bring in Tahara. It's really hard to entertain how that's actually possible. However, right now we don't have to entertain it. In other words, if the majority of people are Tamei, and now we have an allowance to bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah, so then even the non-Tamei also are afforded the opportunity to bring a B'Tumah. It might be, the Gemara does not make this point super clear, but I'll suggest it, I'll throw it out there. It might be connected to the fundamental issue, which we touched on already a couple Dapim ago, in terms of whether or not the Tumah is Hoshur B'Tzibur or Tumah D'Chuya B'Tzibur. This idea that there's an allowance to offer the Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah, so is the Torah giving a Heter Gamor? It's a blanket Heter, which now gives carte blanche, where basically we ignore the Tumah altogether, and so therefore the non-Tamei people don't have to make any reservations whatsoever about bringing in a state of Tumah, or do we say Tumah is D'chuya B'Tzibur, where there's a reluctance on the part of the Torah, meaning the Torah does allow it, but it's a dispensation that the Torah does, so to say, reluctantly. And if that's in fact the case, so then the argument can be made that the non-Tamei people have to be try to remain tahor. However, again, from Rashi's standpoint, it seems pretty clear. I'll highlight a couple of the Rashi's. It seems pretty clear that in a case where you have rove, so the minority of people are still going to be bringing in a state of tumah. That's the that's what it sounds like from the Rashi's. I'll point to them as we go along. So, if the Jewish people are tamei in mass, or if the majority of them are tamei. So this is the year where Pesach is going to be brought in the state of Tumah. But that's not it. The Braisa continues. I'm sorry. The Mishnah continues. Osha yu kohanim tamei v'akal tahorim. Or let's say the kohanim are tamei. So you have the segment of a population, but the obviously a significant segment of the population, i.e. the kohanim doing the avoda. If they are tamei, even though the Jewish people are tahor, you still are not going to be bringing the carbon. You are going to be bringing the carbon Pesach that year in a state of tumah. Yasa b'tumah. Nidma miyadakala tahor mosin esarishim v'atumei mosin esasheni. Now, what if it's only a minority of the Jewish people that are tamei? So here's what's going to happen. The majority of the Jewish people are going to be bringing a Pesach Rishon. And those minority Jewish people who are Tameh, so they're going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni, bringing it on Pesach Sheni. Kind of intuitive point, meaning we kind of knew that. The Mishnah spells it out, and it's important that the Mishnah spells it out, because in just a moment, it's going to give us a chance to make a deek in the Mishnah, but let's stay tuned. We're not there yet. Tanu Rabbanan. We start with the Braisa. So here in the Braisa, we are going to be making the same points that we made in the Mishnah. Actually, in the Braisa, we're going to have an additional point. If the Jewish people are Tamei, even though the Kohanim and the Kli Sharis are Tahor, Osha Hayu Yisrael Tahorim, or let's say that the Jewish people are Tahor, the Kohanim and the Kli Sharis Tameim, the Kohanim and the Kli Sharis are Tameim. And here we go with an additional point that we did not see in our Mishnah. The Afil Yisrael V'Kohanim Tahorim. Let's say the Jewish people and the Kohanim are Tahor. U Kli Sharis Tameim, and the only thing that's Tamei right now are the Kli Sharis. So Yasa B'Tumah, so then Pesach that year is going to be brought in a state of Tumah. So obviously over here, a feature that we did not see in our Mishnah that's introduced to us by this Braisa is even if the Kli Sharis are Tameh, so this now gives an allowance to Pesach to be done B'Tumah. Shein Karben Sibur Chaluk, because we do not have a Karben Sibur that is to be divided, meaning that it's a Karben Sibur, and so therefore uniformity. We want the community to all look the same. So that means to say that if the Kohanim are Tamei, so we can't have now the Kohanim not do the Avoda, the Kohanim are needed to do the Avoda. So therefore the Avoda is going to be done B'Tumah. So everything now is going to be B'Tumah. And this point would even include the Kli Sharis as well. The Kli Sharis are Tamei, so how are we going to do the Avoda? Meaning we're assuming right now that there is not time, significant time, to be Matar the Kalim. So therefore, the Avoda has to be done B'Tumah. So once the Avoda is being done B'Tumah, so that means to say that everyone's going to bring it B'Tumah. So here's one Rashi to highlight. Rashi writes over here, it's the first Rashi in the Gemara. Ein Karben Sibur. Rashi's going on that last line that we just learned together, in Karben Sibur Chaluk. Rashi writes, Haba B'Tumah Chaluk Me Achash Karben Ruba Ba B'Tumah. Since the majority are Tumah, Af Hayachid Ose B'Tumah. Rashi over here says it clearly. Even those individuals, those minority that are not Tameh, so they're going to be bringing a B'Tumah as well. Good. Amar Rav Chisda, so on the third point of the price, which obviously is a Chiddush, where even if the Kli Sharis are Tameh and the Jewish people are Tahor, so the Braisa tells us that your Pesach is going to be brought B'Tumah. Now when we say that the Kli Sharis are Tameh, we're assuming that we're talking about the knives, which are needed for the Shechita. I mean, we could also be talking about the bowls, which are needed for the Kli Sharis. But let's assume right now we're talking about the knives. Now, lo shanu elo shenit mas takim b'tamei meis. Derachman amar b'chalal cherev cherehari k'chalal v'kama tamei legavra dimi ikara kimis avde b'tumas aguf dekaris kamis aved. So here we're talking about where the knives are tamei. And how do they become tamei? Through tumas meis. Now, a halacha that we've gone over numerous times throughout Shas, and that is metal is an unbelievable conductor of tumah, specifically tumas meis. Where the Tumas mace, let's say we're talking about the actual mace itself, which is an Avi Avos HaTumah, metal touches the mace, the knife also is an Avi Avos HaTumah. Alternatively, a person who touches the mace is an Avatumah, the knife touching that person is also an Avatumah. Generally speaking, when you have transmission of Tumah, it drops down a level, but when it comes to metal and Tumas mace, it maintains the same level. So here, what we're saying, what Rav Chisda is saying, is that when it comes to the knife that makes contact with the person who's a Tamei Mace. So now the knife is an Avatumah. Anyone now touching the knife is going to now have Tumas Gavra, right? Generally speaking, a person does not become Tamei from a Kli, but here he does. Again, because of the unusual nature of the transmission of Tumah from the Mace to the knife. So therefore the knife now is an Avatumah. The person handling the knife now is going to become Tamei. And so now we're talking about Tumas Aguf. Tumas Aguf, when somebody is Tamei with Tumas Aguf, going ahead and either going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating Karban, so generally speaking, that's Kares. And under those circumstances now, says Rav Chisda, that will give allowance to go ahead now and to offer the Karban Pesach. Aval nit ma'asak mitum ha-sharis de-basar hu de-mitam yalei le-gavar la-mitam yalei tahorin avid tamein lo avid. However, if let's say the knife is not Tamei with Tumas with Tumas Mace, but rather, let's say, just Tumas Sheretz. So what does that make the knife? The knife now is only a Rishon. So the only thing the knife now is going to do is affect the meat that it's cutting, but the knife is not going to affect the person that's handling it. So now that Tumah is no longer Tumas Haguf, but rather now it's only Tumas Basar, eating Basar that's Tameh is a prohibition of the Torah, but it's only a lav, it's not Kares. So under these circumstances, what Rav Chisda wants to argue is, there is no allowance to offer B'tumah. Mutav yochal B'tumas Basar B'lav, V'al yochal B'tumas Haguf, Shiba Kares. So better that we violate the Tumas Basar, which is only a lav, and Al yochal Basar B'tumas Haguf. But what you should not allow is you should not allow Tamei people to go ahead and to eat the Karban Pesach that year. Shehu Bekaris, because that's an Issur Kares. Alma. So this idea of Rav Chisda, that even though the Brisa says that when the Kli Sharis is Tamei, so now there's an allowance of Pesach Haba B'tumah. So what Rav Chisda does is he mitigates. And he says that's only true when the knife is Tamei with a Tumah Chamura of Tumas Mace, where the handler now is Tamei with Kares. However, if we're all we're looking at is the knife being a Rishon, so then we don't have a heter of Tumah of Tumas Pesach for that year. Why? The Gemara spells it out. So Rav Chisda is of the position of Tumah Dechuya. Again, going back to the Gemara in Ein Zion. So the Gemara over there brought down a machlokas of whether or not Tumas Hutra or Dechuya in the base medrash. This was the kind of discussion that was being had. And so the Gemara over here identifies now two Amorayim, Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak, who are of the position that Tumah is Dechuya, which means that it's a reluctant allowance, and it's not carte blanche. So over here, if the only thing that's going to become Tumah is a Basar, but we could preserve Tumas Haguf, which is an Issur Kares, let's preserve Tumas Haguf, which is an Issur Kares. Let's tell all those people to just simply move over to Pesach Sheni. So Virava Amar Afilu Tameim Nami Avdei, and Rava disagrees, and Rava says no. In that year, even the Tameim would be allowed to offer it on Pesach Rishon. Now, one could have simply argued that Rava says the Tumas Hutcher B'Sibur, but the Gemara is not going to argue that. The Gemara is going to give a different reason why Rava would allow that year the Pesach to be offered in a state of Tumah, which sounds like meaning by virtue of the fact that the Gemara just doesn't simply say Tumah Hutcher B'Sibur for Rava. It sounds like Rava is fundamentally in agreement with Rav Chisda, with Rabbi Yitzchak, that Tumah is Dechuya, Tumah's Karban Pesach is Dechuya B'Sibur, not Hutcher B'Sibur. Anyway, what is the reason behind Rava? So Rava, Amar Afil Tumim Nami Abdi Mai Tam Dechsiv, Abbasar Asher Yiga B'chol Tameh, Lo Yochol Ba'esh Yisareh. When the meat of a carbon becomes Tameh, so you're not allowed to eat it. And rather, Beishi Saref, you have to burn it, you have to dispose of it. Va'basar kol tahor, yochal basar. Now, when the basar is tahor, so then tahor people can eat that basar. And what Rava does is basically he creates a relationship between these two psukim, otherwise known as the hekesh. Kol hechad lo karina be va'basar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yochal, lo karina ba va'basar kol tahor yochal basar. Kol hechad de karina be va'basar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yochal, karina be va'basar kol tahor yochal basar. So when the meat is tameh and you're not allowed to eat it, so that's when Torah people have to be eating Torah meat. But when the meat is allowed to be eaten in a state of tumah, i.e. the kli sharis are tameh, thereby allowing the meat to be eaten in a state of tumah, so then there is no longer a requirement that Torah people have to be eating tahor karbanos. Fine. So for that reason, Rava allows now in that particular year even Tameim to go ahead and to eat the Karban Pesach even though it's in the state of Tumah. But again, just to reiterate, not because Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, but because of the Hekesh that we just learned together. Okay, perfect. Itmar. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're in Ayin Testament Aleph. So far, a Mishnah giving us the very basic halacha in which you have either the entire or the majority of the Jewish people being Tameh, so that year Pesach is brought in a state of Tumah. Or the Kohanim being Tameh, that year Pesach brought B'Tumah. And as we learned in the Braisa, immediately after the Mishnah, even if the Kli Sharis are Tameh, that year Pesach is brought B'Tumah. With then a subsequent discussion in the Gemara, in terms of what kind of Tumah are we talking about regarding the Kli Sharis. Are we talking about where the knives are Tameh with an Ava Tumah? Or are we even talking about where the knives are Tameh with a Vlada Tumah? And again, the Gemara just went through the discussion over there by the Amoraim of Rabbi Chisda, Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rava. Okay, we're continuing now. We're in the Gemara. We're towards the bottom of the Amud Ayin, Testament Aleph. And here we begin a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. I think we're not going to finish it today, but Mirza Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish it. Itmar Reisha Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim. So let's now deal with a scenario in which you have Mechza al Mechza. Okay, so this is a classic discussion in the Gemara, meaning we know that if you have Rov, so we know exactly what to do. We were just given the clearest instructions in the Mishnah. But what if you have Mechza Mechza? Obviously, it's an extraordinarily unlikely scenario, but at least from a Lamda standpoint, how do we view 50%? This is a topic that comes up a number of times throughout Halacha, right? In the beginning of Chulin, just off the top of my head. In the beginning of Chulin, so we had, in order for the Shechita to be good Shechita, you have to cut through Rov Simanim, you have to go through the majority of the pipes. And what if you only go through 50% of the pipe? What would be the Halacha? So the Gemara over there deliberates, debates exactly what would be the status of that Shechita. Good. So over here also, so we have now another scenario in Shas where the Gemara deals with how to view 50% in terms of halacha. Now, I'm not sure. The Gemara does not compare one discussion to another discussion. So I'm not sure if whatever we're going to say over here is transferable to other areas in halacha. But at least over here, so let's discuss. Idmar, Harisha Yisrael Mechza Torah Mechza Tameim. So what do we do when it's Mechza al Mechza? 50% of the Jewish people are Tameh. So Rav Amar Mechza Mechza Kerov. So Rav will tell you that Mechza Mechza is like Rov. And 50%, you know what 50% is? It's not a minority. So if it's not a minority, so then therefore it is a majority. Okay, it's a really interesting position of Rav. And therefore Rav will tell you that year Pesach is brought in Betumah. Rav Kahana Amar Mechza Mechza in a Kerov. So, and Rav Kahana will tell you that 50% is not the majority. Rav Amar Mechza Mechza Kerov Halalu Osin Latzman Ba'alalu Osin Latzman. Now, according to Rav, what do you do? Meaning if 50% is the majority, so what do you have over here? So you have a most unusual circumstance where you now have a majority of the Jewish people being Tameh, and you have a majority of the Jewish people being Tahor. Okay, now that's really difficult to process. You have two majorities over here. So what do you do with those two majorities? So I foreshadowed this Gemara earlier this morning, but here the Gemara says it. So what we're going to do now is that this group will be doing it, or the Tameh group will be offering the Karm Pesach B'Tumah, and the Tahor group will be offering their Karm Pesach in a state of Tahara. Now, pragmatically speaking, practically speaking, I don't know how this is going to happen, but what I do know, however, is that from a Lamda standpoint, it makes perfect sense, because each group represents a Rov according to Rav, right? It's an easy way to remember it, by the way, the Rav Rov. Each of them represents a majority. And therefore, each one of them now is going to be following the rules of Rov. The Tameh group who have a Rov label attached to them are going to be offering Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. The Tahor group, which are also a Rov, so therefore they're going to be offering Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon in a state of Tahara. Okay? It's a lot to process in terms of how it's going to happen, but even from a Lamda standpoint, it's a lot to process, right? How can both be a Rov? But again, once we start off with the assumption that 50% is Rov, so at least I begin to understand, but still, it's definitely a struggle to understand. Rav Kahana, Amar Mechza, Mechzeinu Kerov, Toronos in the Sarishon, Utameinos in the Sasheni. Now for Rav Kahana, life's a lot easier. Well, almost. All right. I'm not sure if I'm totally prepared to say that, but it's a little bit easier to understand. Because Rav Kahana, 50% is not a majority. A majority is 51%. So 50% is not a majority. So according to Rav Kahana, what do you do? Well, since the 50% that are Tameh don't represent the majority, so they're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach on Pesach Rishon. They get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And the 50% that are Tahor are going to be bringing it on Pesach Rishon. Good. That is all version number one of Rav Kahana. However, Ikadamri, there's another version of Rav Kahana. And that is Amar Rav Kahana Mechza Mechza Eino Kerov. So again, in version number two, Rav Kahana says that 50% is not a Rov, but now get ready for this. In version number two of Rav Kahana, what do you do? So the Tahorin Osin is a Rishon. So as far as the Tahorin are concerned, so you probably would guess correctly, they're going to be offering on Pesach Rishon. That part's easy, or easier. Now as far as the other 50% of Tameim, so they're not going to be offering it neither on Pesach Rishon nor on Pesach Sheni. Now, 50% of the Jewish people are just not going to be offering the Korban Pesach. So the that's hard to understand. But the Gemara goes on to explain. So they can't offer on Pesach Rishon because they're not the Rov. Meaning a Rav Kahana says 50% is not a Rov. That part is easy. But B'sheni lo avdi lo have a miyuta. But at the same time, however, they also aren't a minority. And who gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni? Only individuals, minority, get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but they are not a minority as well. Meaning Rav Kahana tells you that 50% is neither the majority nor is it the minority. So for the Tahorim, so good. You don't, for Tahorim, you don't, there's no halacha of majority minority. Tahorim just simply going to offer it on Pesach Rishon. But for the 50% who are the minority, so they're not going to offer it neither on Pesach Rishon nor on Pesach Sheni. Now, admittedly, it's difficult to understand. And when I say it's difficult to understand, Tosfos already struggles to understand this. Kashal Riva, look at the top Tosfos, where it just highlight the Balei Tosfos question. Ipalga mikre ish litchul Pesach Sheni. Vilo mikre ish elitzibor li'ave betuma berisha. Right? It's really difficult to understand. Meaning, how is Rav Kahana viewing 50%? If it's not a majority, so then by definition it should be a minority. And if it's not a minority, then by definition it should be a majority. Meaning this second version of Rav Kahana really is now creating a third category, but how can there really be a third category? Meaning isn't your options either going to be majority or minority? If 50% is not a majority, so then call a minority. And if 50% is not a minority, so call it a majority. So Tosfos really struggles over here to understand how it is that this sheet of Rav Kahana has 50% being in total limbo. Okay, so it's simply a struggle to understand. Tosfos goes on, but obviously we're going to go back to, not obviously, but unfortunately we're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to go on in the Gemara, but it is a difficult sheet to understand. So far, what do we have in front of us right now? We have three positions about Mechza Mechza. Rav will tell you that 50% is considered majority. So therefore, what you're going to have, according to Rav, is each of these majorities offering on Pesach Rishon, the Tarim and the Tumim, they'll just do it separately. And we have Rav Kahana telling us that 50% is not considered a majority, and therefore, the Tarim are going to offer on Pesach Rishon. As far as the Tumim are concerned, so we have two versions of Rav Kahana. In version number one, the Tumim are just simply going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And in version number two, the Tumim are simply not going to be offering Karm Pesach, not on Pesach Rishon, nor on Pesach Sheni. I buffered for just a moment. Three lines from the top of the Amud Ayin, Testament Beis, we learned in our Mishnah. Nit makala rubo shayukonim Tumim bakal tarim yasa betumah. So the Gemara now is going to make a really simple diuk in our Mishnah. Rubu hu da'abdi betumah. Only when the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, then it's going to be offered betumah. Palga palga lo avde berisha. But if it's 50-50, so then they're not going to do it on Pesach Rishon. So kashi l'rav. So that obviously is difficult for Rav. So amalecha Rav, ruba avde kula betumah. So Rav will tell you, look, I'll tell you how to read the Mishnah. It's really simple. If the majority of the people are tamei, so then we're going to offer it in a state of tumah on Pesach Rishon. Palga palga. But the reason why the Mishnah doesn't talk about 50-50 is because that's not exactly the halacha. When it's 50-50, halalu osin la'atzman, v'halalu osin la'atzman. So then what you're going to have two Karm Pesachs offered on Pesach Rishon, but independently. The Torah group are going to be doing it independent, and the Tameh group are going to be doing it independent. And hachinami mistabra, and in fact, Rav says, I'll tell you what, I'm not just fetching a pshat in the Mishnah, it really reads into the Mishnah. Because Diktani Sefer, because if you take a look at the end of the Mishnah, Nitma Miotakal Tarin Osinas Arishon V'Tumim Osinas Hasheni. The Mishnah then goes on to say, what if it's a minority of the Jewish people that are Tamei? So the majority are going to do it on Pesach Rishon, and the minority are going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And now we can make a deal in the second half of the Mishnah. Miotu Da'avdi B'Sheni V'Apaga Baga Lo. So it's only a Miot that gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But if it's Mechza Mechza, if it's 50-50, low. V'Avdi B'Rishon. Everyone's going to be doing it on Pesach Rishon. It's just in two different groups. Halalu Osin La'atzman, v'halalu Osin La'atzman. So Rav now successfully read his pshat into our Mishnah. Not just read our pshat into the Mishnah, it actually is meduyik in the Mishnah. Very good. V'ela kashal Rav Kahana. So now for Rav Kahana, it does seem to be a little bit difficult. So amlecha Rav Kahana, meaning that diuk that we just made in the second half of the Mishnah, that doesn't bode well for Rav Kahana. So Amalcha Rav Kana will tell you Nidmu Miyot Takal Taharin. If the minority are Tamei, so then and Hakal Taharin, but the majority of the people are Tahor, Osinus Harisham Vinidmu Osinus Hasheni, where in the in that scenario, so the majority of Tahor people offering a Pesach Rishon, the minority offering a Pesach Sheni, Hapalga Palga Tahor Osinus Harishon, Avotmein Osin Losa Rishon Velos Hasheni. And if it's 50-50, so then Rav Kahana, at least in version number 2, is going to tell you, good. What the Mishnah means to tell me is that the 50% that are Torah going to offer on Pesach Rishon, and the other 50%, nothing. Not on Pesach Rishon, not on Pesach Sheni. So, Hatein Echlelisha Basra Rav Kahana. So the Gemara says, very good. So that explains the Mishnah according to version number 2 of Rav Kahana. But for version number 1 of Rav Kahana, it simply doesn't read well within the Shita of Rav Kahana version number 1. Because in Rav Kahana version number 1, if it's 50-50, here's what's going to happen. The 50 that are Torah offering on Pesach Rishon. The 50 that are Tamei are going to be offering Pesach Sheni. But it doesn't read like that in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says only a miyut gets pushed off the Pesach Sheni. Not 50%. So I'm the Rav Kahana who didn't dafila pago paganami Torah no sin is a rishon utame no sin is a sheni. So Rav Kahana will tell you is, look, here I will simply tell you, don't read the Mishnah so critically, because the Mishnah, it's true, you could be medayik in the Mishnah, but you know why the Mishnah says the word miut over here, just to contrast. V'haydiktani miut takal aydiktani reisha rubo tana nami seifa miuto. So the only thing that the only reason why the Mishnah uses the word miut is only for contrast. Remember, the Mishnah has a symmetry to it; it has a almost like a poetry to it. And so the Mishnah wants to contrast ro versus miut. But if it's mechsa mechsa, if it's 50-50, who adin, the same halach would be true. Where if it's 50-50, so the 50 that are Torah going to be offering in Pesach Rishon, and the other 50% are just simply going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. At least that's how you would read the Mishnah according to Rav Kahana version number 2. Okay, and this is going to be our stopping point. Tani Kavase the Rav. The Gemara is now going to be quoting Bryce's supporting Rav Shita, Rav Kahana version number 1 Shita, Rav Kahana version number 2 Shita. So that's coming up in a series of Bryce's. We're going to see all those Bryce's at the beginning of tomorrow Mirtz Hashem. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Our daf today, so we finished off the Mishnah from yesterday, when the Mishnah says that you need a Kazayis HaBasar in order to do Zrikas HaDam by the Karban Pesach. Because again, the whole purpose of Karban Pesach is for it to be consumed. So fine, and what if I did a Zrika, even though there was no Basar, all the Basar was Tamei? So Hurtza. So the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's pretty clear in the Mishnah that that Ritzui, it would affect Ritzui. That is going like whose position? Well, first of all, that was Rav who made the deek in the Mishnah. Whose position is that going like? So the end of yesterday's daf, so the Gemara spent a lot of time saying that's the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. Good. And in the beginning of today's daf, in Ayin Testament Aleph, the Gemara gives an alternative viewpoint, which is that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, and we quoted a Braisa showing that Rabbi Yeshua, in fact, says that Bidi Evin, if you do a Zrika, Hurtza, it would work. When it comes to Shar Karbanos, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you need a Kezias of consumable parts. Either the Mizbech is going to be able to consume a Kezias of Chelev, or the owner is able to consume a Kezias of Basar. Then and only then can you do the Zrika. The Gemara cites the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara cites the sourcing of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. It comes from the fact that the Torah uses the words Chelev, the Torah uses the words Reich Nichoach. Good. Then the Mishnah on Ayin Testament Aleph teaches us a baseline halacha that if the Jewish people are Tamei, or the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, under those circumstances, Pesach is brought betumah. If the Kohanim are Tamei, Pesach is brought betumah. However, the Mishnah says, but if it's only a minority of the Jewish people that are Tamei, so then Pesach that year is brought betahara, and then those people are just simply pushed off to Pesach Sheni. The Gemara introduces a Braisa reviewing that information and adding even if the Kalim are Tamei. Discussion amongst the Amorayim, whether or not the Kalim are Tamei with Tumas, with an Avatama. The knife is an Avatama. That would be talking about where it's a metal knife coming into contact with Tumas Mace. Or even if the Kalim are Tamei with a Vlada Tuma, i.e. the knife came into contact with the Sheretz, making the knife a Risho, not an Av. A machlokus amongst the Amorayim, what degree of Tumas Kli Sharis are we talking about? And then the remainder of today's daf is mechsa mechsa. What happens if half the Jewish people are tameh? What do we do under those circumstances? So we have three opinions: Rav, Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana. And you heard correctly. The last two positions are two versions of Rav Kahana. According to Rav, 50% is considered rov. So if I have mechsa mechsa, so we have a double rov. We have a dual rov. Now, generally speaking, that's difficult to process. How can you have a double rov? But once you start with the assumption that 50% is not a minority and therefore a majority, okay, so 50% is the rov. What do you do if it's mechsa mechsa according to Rav? So everyone's going to be bringing a Pesach Rishon, but in two different groups. The Taharim are going to be doing their bring their Karm Pesach as one group, and then the Tamim are going to come in and do their Karm Pesach as another group. That is Shitas Rav. Rav Kahana says no. The 50% is not a majority. Therefore, the Taharim are going to be offering a Pesach Rishon. Now, what about the Tamim? What are they going to do? So in version number one, Rav Kahana, so they're just simply going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. In version number two, Rav Kahana, a really exciting but challenging position of Rav Kahana is that 50%, well, they don't represent a majority, therefore they're not going to be offering Pesach Rishon, but they also don't represent a minority, and therefore they're not going to be bringing on Pesach Sheni. Okay, and that is definitely going to be challenging to understand, but that is Shitas Rav Kahana according to version number two. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Brises. We're going to have three Brises, each supporting all three of these positions.